Hey everyone, welcome to the Her on Top podcast, episode 9. Today we are going to discuss, is watching pornography cheating? Alex and I discuss why or why not porn could be considered cheating and how to handle having these conversations in your relationship. As a disclaimer, these episodes are based off of my clinical knowledge, but as I am not your therapist, please take care with all that is discussed and talk to your own therapist or seek out a therapist if you are wanting to dive deeper into these topics for yourself. If you enjoy this podcast, please follow us on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you find your podcasts, and don't forget to leave a rating and review with a comment or question you would like us to discuss in one of our episodes. For more fun and reminders of upcoming episodes, you can follow us on Instagram at HerOnTopPod. All right, let's get into it. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Her on Top.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm so glad that it's Friday.
Oh, you and me both. Except for I have to work tomorrow night, so my weekend's a little funky.
That's not fun.
I'm playing the maid in a live-action game of Clue that's happening at the private social club that I work at. So, I mean, it's a different kind of work. Like, I'm playing a maid for 4 hours while people ask me for clues. It's different. I signed up for it. I now wish I didn't sign up for it, but you know what? I'll still show up. So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds fun. It sounds annoying that it's part of your job. And so I'm sure it's not like, oh, this will be so fun to do. But if it was just like you doing it with friends, I feel like that would be fun.
Oh, yeah. Like if we were the members, like if you and I and Connor and Albert were actually members at the club and signed up for this night, it would be incredibly fun. I still think it'll be fun. It's just after having a cold this week and things a little bit under the weather, it's like now I'm wishing I didn't, but it'll be good. And we're going to our favorite friend's bar to pregame my work. So at least I'll be in a good mood when I get there. So there's that.
Yeah.
How are you doing this week, my dear?
I am doing well. It's another, you know, hectic week, as it always is with work and a toddler and all the things. My mom just finally got back from her trip that she was on, which is great.
God that she's back home now?
Yeah. It was great having other grandparents here, but it's just, you know,
when you have one person all the time who knows all the routines and everything, it's just a lot easier.
It is.
Versus new people in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My kiddo did have some crazy weird things happening where he got like hives last weekend and had to go to urgent care a couple times. And then this week got a fever, and I'm not really sure if the two are related or not, or if he just like picked something up while we were public and at urgent care. So yeah, he's had some weird stuff going on. So he hasn't been feeling that great this week. So my poor kiddo, but he's hanging in there. He's, you know, watching lots of Blippi because he doesn't feel good, which I'm sure he's loving his Blippi.
That show weirds me out. Can I just say that? I've seen clips of it and it really fucking weirds me out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two different Blippi
versions. I've learned.
Yeah.
The original and then the newer.
And they both have their own like weird
voices quirks that are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, they're like, I don't know about the original, but I know the newer Blippi is like a paid trained actor.
Yes. And that's what my friend who has a toddler was telling me like 2 weeks ago when I saw her, and we went into a long discussion on Blippi, and I was just like, you know what? I swear to God, I'm going to make my child think it is 1994 when they watch things, because I'm not going to show them Miss Rachel. I'm not going to show them any of them. The famous last word. Well, guys, when I have one, we can, you know, I'll eat that again. But at this point, I'm like, you get Disney Plus and you get the fucking classics that I watched. And if that ain't good enough, you can play with your shit.
Yeah. Well, we started on the Miss Rachel train because it's actually really helpful for their speech that he was a little delayed in speech and we got him evaluated and they actually recommended Miss Rachel.
Okay.
And so we started with Miss Rachel and then he got really bored with Miss Rachel. And so then we ventured into Blippi and now he kind of goes back and forth. But trust me, I've tried. I try to get him to watch other stuff. He doesn't want to watch anything else. He will get upset and he doesn't care. We tried to watch Zaboomafoo the other day. I was like having super nostalgia about.
Oh my God. I haven't heard that in forever.
Yeah. The lemur and the brothers. And it was funny because I was like, I did not put two and two together when I was little that they are in Africa. It's actually a really cool show in terms of like what kids could learn from it. But he was just like, no, I just want Blippi. That's it. So you think that you wouldn't do screens? I was a very like, oh, I would never do screens with kids. Trust me.
I mean, I think I'll do screens because I had TV too. But like, I just wonder if I never show them Blippi, they don't know it exists.
That's very true.
So like that's my thing. I only start with 90s classics and that's all you get. Or even, you know what? I'll give you what's the one
with the conjunction junction? What's your function? What's it? Schoolhouse Rock.
I'll fucking give you Schoolhouse Rock and I will give you the 90s classics. And if you don't know Blippi exists, like how do you know? Like, but then I come to the realization, am I going to really stunt my child because they think they live in the 90s and really it's going to be like 2028. Like,
yeah.
But am I stunting you? I don't know.
Anyway, this is getting in the weeds and we don't need to go into this. But a lot of that stuff too is also like developmentally way advanced. Like where he's at, even Miss Rachel, originally he would get upset and bored with because he couldn't understand a lot of what was going on. I think that's a lot more at his level now. And he likes Miss Rachel when he gets bored with Blippi. But even a lot of Blippi, you know, they do a lot of different stuff that is interesting and cool. And I actually like Blippi a little bit better because Miss Rachel gets a little like, okay, I don't want to go over the sounds of these words like a million times anymore. But for him, that's what he needs and what he understands developmentally. So I think other stuff he just doesn't want to watch because he doesn't get it and he doesn't really like understand what's happening and then he gets frustrated.
I get that. So,
you know, there's lots of different things that you will learn as a parent and every child's different. So, you know,
I don't know if anyone totally be
just him, but
I get you. I don't know if anyone would ever even get this reference, but I mean, I used to feel that way when I was like 3 and my grandma used to watch Quincy, which was like a old people show about a medical examiner. And I'd get so annoyed when she'd watch it because I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And then my parents would come home. My dad would be like, oh, how was day with grandma today? And it was like, we watched Quincy again.
Yeah.
Like in a bad mood. And it's like, yeah, I mean, once I got an SVU, I loved that one. She showed me that. That was a childhood show that I got from a grandparent, which it's like, should I have seen that at 6? Probably not. But did I love it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the joys of parenthood, for sure. Yeah, having to watch little kid shows is honestly
mind-numbing.
It's mind-numbing, but you will get the
you sing
songs
along with them and be like,
you will get the songs
turns into a little bop for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So have fun with that, whoever is out there with toddlers and is watching Miss Rachel and Blippi right now. Our topic for today, listeners, is
nowhere near Blippi.
Nowhere near Blippi. We are definitely stepping it up a few ratings. We're going from G to probably rated R.
Triple X.
We are going to talk about the topic of, is porn, the use of porn, considered cheating? We're narrowing our focus on porn. We will definitely, I think, have some other episodes on other aspects of porn. But I think something that has come up in a lot of my conversations with clients recently is the fact that, you know, a lot of people feel like porn is cheating when they are in a relationship with someone. And so I thought it would be interesting for us to kind of dive into that and talk about the pros and cons of that, or, you know, whether it is cheating or not, how we feel about it, and then kind of prep you with some ways to have those conversations in your own relationships. Sound good?
That sounds fantastic to me. I am so ready to get in the weeds on porn. Much rather do that than the weeds on Blippi.
Yes, for sure. So we're going to first dive into what do people think about porn when they think that it is cheating? You know, what is the mindset of somebody that believes that porn is cheating in their relationship?
Just because you said that, I have a really funny anecdote that a lot of listeners might know. Okay. Is in terms of porn being cheating. Mm-hmm. Is, did you watch Sex in the City?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. I couldn't remember if you watched it or not. I did. Okay, so do you remember when Charlotte is like married to Trey and like he's like running into the bat, like he can't have sex with her. He can't get it up to have sex with her. Mm-hmm. But she then learns that he's like in the bathroom with the triple X rated, like huge boobed porn magazines. And he's just going to town in the bathroom. And she's like, oh my, you can't have sex with me, but you can get off to this.
Right.
And so then their therapist ends up suggesting that he can still look at the body of the person in the magazine, but they cut out pictures of Charlotte's face and glued that to the faces of the girls in the magazine. So then it looked like Charlotte's face, but it was the body of a totally different woman. So that just really made me remember that scene from like Sex and the City of when the therapist tried to mitigate the porn problem that way by being like, let's just superimpose her face on it. And then she feels more included.
Yeah, which I'll give props for the creativeness of that. But I don't think that that would be actually really helpful in that situation.
I don't either. It was just a funny anecdote that since we were talking about it, I was like, I remember that. And that was kind of funny.
Absolutely. But I think the premise of that is definitely where a lot of this comes from, right?
Yes.
Of like, porn is taking away something from our meaning, whoever you're in a relationship with, our sexual experiences together, and feeling, yeah, maybe insecure about that, feeling like, you know, you can get off or get aroused by all
someone who's not me.
Someone who's not me. And definitely feeling like, yeah, that's taking away from whatever we are having together. Now, I will say that there's a little bit of a difference between somebody who watches porn and can get, you know, aroused with porn, as well as with their partner, and that, you know, it's not actually taking anything away from that situation versus somebody that exclusively watching porn and maybe is like icing out their partner or is having a harder time engaging in sexual activity with their partner.
Thank you. I will say for that example and the funny anecdote I made, that I will totally agree with you. That's the huge fucking like caveat of that one to me is that, if you can get off that easily to people who aren't me, but for the love of God, you can't get it up for us to have sex, then yeah, I would say I can understand the insecurity and that being a little bit of an issue in your relationship. I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've also heard people say, you know, that porn is just icky. It's gross. It feels like, you know, this isn't something that you should be wanting to watch because of just like the negative connotation around porn.
Society has not propped up the porn industry in a great way.
Mm-mm.
I don't think. And I think that I think there's definitely, and we definitely will not even get in the weeds with this anywhere, but I will just say, I do think there's definitely times where maybe things were not done in a way they should be in that industry. So maybe people weren't being valued and respected for the work that they were doing in this industry in that way. However, absolutely. I've also then heard, you know, the flip side of really good example is one of the girls from Boy Meets World, the old 90s show. She now actually has like a subscription porn thing that she does where she talks about like Disney Channel. She felt super over-sexualized at a really young age and was made to be, it's the redhead girl from, I know her real name's Madeline Ward, but the redhead from Boy Meets World, where, you know, she was always like, you know, having food fights with the boys and her boobs are out and all this. And she was, I was sexualized in that way, but it was in a way that other people asked me to be and expected me to be versus me in this industry in porn. I create the content I want to create and I do it the way I want to present myself. And that's like the big difference. So I will say I hate that society has given it such a bad rap for so long, because I think you can find empowerment in it. It's just, how's it being done?
Right.
How's the cake being baked?
Right. Exactly. Well, I think, you know, with technology and everything, we've had the rise of like OnlyFans and different ways of people monetizing, you know, whatever sexuality that they want to put
out there. Do you ever have an OnlyFans?
Only for feet. I have definitely, you know, thought about, oh, what would it be like to put an OnlyFans account out just about feet? And
did you just like move your little toesies and stuff? Is that what you do?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that are really into feet and have a foot fetish, or you
like
know,
you'd put on different shoes. Like, we're going to go from Uggs to a heel now, and like, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. My husband always says, like, you would have to do weird things like stepping in poop and stuff like that with your bare foot. And I'm like, I'm not sure.
You're not taking Rex's diaper to step in it to put it on OnlyFans.
But some people are into that. So I don't know.
I mean, look, you can monetize Rex's diapers. Like, that's a look at the world we live in. You can now monetize on a dirty diaper.
So, I mean, and that's not trying to say that people with, you know, interest in feet is a bad thing. I don't want to show the rest of my body. So if those are the people that I could get to pay me for things, great.
I've asked Connor a million times if he would do an OnlyFans, and he like with me, like have one. And he was like, I don't even want to watch myself have sex. So no, I don't want other people. No, thank you.
Well, and I don't think it has to. I mean, a lot of it, I feel like, is not even like people actually having sex. It's just like showing their bodies in different ways. And
he always says that he doesn't love that for me either, because he goes, you're kind of a handful and I put in the work to get to see you naked. The rest of the world doesn't get it for fucking free. And I was like,
well, they would be paying you for it. So no, it wouldn't be free.
No, I get that. But he thinks it in terms of like, he doesn't really give a shit about the monetary that they're paying. He's like, no, I put in the work. I get to see. I'm like, okay, that's okay. I get you. That can be free.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic, but essentially, I think, you know, there are different forms of porn. And like you were saying, I think it has gotten a bad rep, rightfully so. I definitely think there's a really dark history of porn, the making of porn. And that's not to say that doesn't still exist today. And obviously there's still stuff on the internet that should not be on the internet. But in general, I think we're moving towards porn being something that is hopefully more, I don't even know if it's regulated or not, but I think trying to have more understanding of like the people that are doing it are consenting to be there and hopefully are being treated well, hopefully are also being compensated well. And, you know, there are other forms of porn, like feminist porn, that is trying to tell more of the story based on like the female gaze of what makes them more turned on, or it's less about the men's perspective, because I think that's the one criticism I will give to porn, is that mainstream porn is very much centered around the male gaze and what they want, their own pleasure. And it has been studied that like gay male porn is the only type of porn that doesn't actually have this like demeaning aspect to it, that a lot of times in mainstream porn, you know, women are being treated as less than and are
even. And I think you're totally right, because even when I like think about like lesbian porn, like where it's two girls, it's still kind of like demeaning a little bit at times, depending on the situations you can get into. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I would say about porn is that the view of it is typically more male, unless you're actually seeking out what, you know, they're calling it more feminist porn, which usually is behind barrier where you have to pay for it because it's more of like, you know, startup type thing where people are doing this with not a lot of money. And so they need support in creating that content instead of like Pornhub that, you know, how many billions of dollars do they make a year? So just trying to put out there that I'm not saying that porn is like perfect and that there's no issues with porn, but there's definitely parts of it that definitely have gotten bad reps in previous histories. So it makes sense that people are not going to always feel as comfortable with it as, you know, some of us that may be more sex positive.
That's true. I get that.
So I think, do you have any other thoughts on what it could be like for somebody to think that porn is cheating and what that mindset might look like?
100%. Now, I don't share that feeling that watching porn is cheating. Mm-hmm. I don't. But I think there's always extenuating circumstances that really change that, though. So for me, if you would rather watch porn than have sex with me, that I see as a bit of a, now I don't want to call it cheating, but I see that as a bit of a problem. Or like we kind of discussed earlier, like if you can get aroused by porn, but you cannot for the life of you get aroused when we go to have sex, that's a big problem with your use of it. And if you're compulsively watching it, now that's a whole nother, now we're on a whole different topic. That's an addiction topic. But the cheating aspect to me also comes down to the question of how do you view masturbation if you're not watching porn together while you're like getting aroused to have sex? Like that to me is different. Like if we're watching it together when we're having sex, I don't think anyone would consider that really cheating, or at least correct me if I'm wrong on that. Is it more that you find when it comes up to brought to you of it, someone making it feel like a cheating aspect? Is it when they're watching it together, or is it because one partner's watching it without the other?
Yeah, it's usually one person watching it without the other. And I think you're bringing up a good point around like, what is your view, like you're saying, around masturbation and just your value around porn or having any type of sexual experience outside of like our collective experience together.
Exactly. So my whole thing with that is, right, if you feel inferior or less than in any way by your partner masturbating when you're in a relationship, I think that's the root maybe of part of this, where then I think to me, it starts to kind of seem that that might be the root cause of the problem. And then the porn kind of is like a little symptom alongside of it. Like that's the facilitator. That's what's helping the person, you know, get off and they're masturbating. So to me, I think that's maybe one of the biggest parts. If someone is really feeling like this is cheating, then maybe I think it has to start with, okay, well then what, how do you view if your partner masturbates one or two times a week, you know, by themselves, how do you view that? And then maybe I think that then needs to become a conversation of, okay, how often are we having sex and how often would you like to have it? Like what's kind of the number that maybe we both want to get to? And if I don't maybe, and here's the other part of this for me, where let's say I'm a person where I maybe want to only have sex once a week or once every 2 weeks or something, right? But your partner has a higher need that they just want, they would like to, I mean, and I'll just keep kind of saying it this way, but if they want to get off more than once every 2 weeks and they kind of really would like that and it makes them feel better to have that release more than once every 2 weeks or once a week, then I think that's where you kind of need to have the topic of, okay, if you're not wanting to have that more than that time frame, I respect that for you. And I totally understand that that's enough for you and that's good for you. But then what about the other person's need? I think that has to really be taken into consideration. And if we're not going to be doing this together, then allowing them an outlet for that. I'll put it this way. In some of the forms of the way that I was cheated on back in a previous relationship, a lot of it also was these online sexting sex relationships with women that my partner had known face to face, like in real life, like a friend of his or his friend's wife. It went down the whole list. I mean, I will just tell you, it was some interesting things I found. But it was all people he had either previously had sex with, dated, or knew in real life. So to me, even though part of those weren't just physical, a lot of them were also online. That to me was a feeling of cheating. That was 100% cheating to me, because that is somebody that you know you've had sexual history with. Right. And you're reliving that sexual history in very explicit detail with photos and videos and all of this while you're in a relationship with me and we're having sex multiple times a week. It's not like I'm having sex with you once every 2 months. We're having sex a lot in the week. And, and this is also what you're doing. To me, that was cheating. To me, that really felt like cheating. You were going outside of our relationship to get way more than what we were even having. And you weren't having a conversation with me that maybe, like, you know, maybe when I'm at work and I have a feeling that, like, I am kind of aroused, if you have the time in your workday, I'd love to sext you for a little bit. That would, you know, that would be good for me. There were no conversations around anything like that to include me. It was, I'm just going to go to an external person for this.
Yeah.
So that to me, but when I look at it, like if my current fiance, if he wanted to watch porn once a week and masturbate or twice a week, like I don't view that as cheating whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That's him wanting, because then, okay, if I want to masturbate once or twice a week, and let's say I do need an aid for that, like, and I'm not just going to, you know, do it without it, without some type of other external stimulation to get it going, right? Mm-hmm. Then, okay, like, I don't know. To me, that just seems, there's no way to me that watching porn, if we're having the conversations I think that we need to have about our sex life and we're happy in our sex life, there's no way that just watching porn to me constitutes cheating. It doesn't. Like, I mean, so what happens if I watch 50 Shades of Grey when you're at work and there's how many sex scenes and I get aroused because I'm watching 50 Shades of Grey? Am I cheating on you because I turned 50 Shades of Grey on? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. Like, I think... And I also think that for somebody who truly believes that watching porn is cheating, I think to me that signifies a lot deeper of an insecurity that you have in your relationship and in your sexual relationship with your partner, that I think that is something that needs to be looked at. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think subjectively looking at someone you've never met, you have no idea who this person is in real life, you've never talked to them, you've never had a relationship with them, nothing. They are a human on the internet that you don't know, that you're watching do an act to help you get aroused to have a release or get off. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I stand with it.
Yeah. Well, I think you're bringing up a lot of really good points that this is more complex than just a yes or no answer, right?
It is.
That there's so many different factors that go into why somebody would think it's cheating or not, with it not just being, again, a yes or no answer. So I think trying to transition, you've already kind of done this, but transitioning into what does it look like for it not necessarily to be cheating can be helpful to look at, you know, why would people watch porn? And how can that be something that is not necessarily going to take away from that couple's experience? But we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Hello, beautiful listeners. This is Kayla, your host. As you know, I am also a licensed therapist and specialize in working with couples and individuals on all things relationships and sex. If you are listening to this podcast, are a Washington State resident, and feel like you would benefit from having more of these conversations alone or with your partner in a therapeutic setting, I would be happy to help you create the relationship and sex life you deserve and desire. You can visit my website, reclaimingstoriestherapy.com, learn more about my services, and schedule your free 30-minute video consultation online for us to chat more and see if we are a good fit to help you work towards your goals. As always, thank you for listening, and now back to the show. All right, welcome back. We are going to dive more into this. So I think looking at how can porn be an asset versus something that is taking away is a really helpful tool. Again, I think there are different problems with porn that we can pick out. And I don't think that, again, porn is perfect or something that we should use as like an end all be all. I think that's another aspect of porn that I would say is a flaw is, you know, most people are getting a lot of their sex education from porn. And porn is not real life. Porn is something that is curated for a specific
created scenario.
Yes.
It's produced. There's literally a producer. Just like reality TV, there's a producer producing a situation.
Yes. And I kind of view porn as like reality TV. Like, we know that a lot of these things are problematic. We know that, like, I love The Bachelor. I also think The Bachelor is very problematic in a lot of the different tropes that it brings to the forefront and a lot of the different insecurities that the people experience. Like, we know
I literally
that
actually did a class in college that the teacher had a specific text that I still have it because I love it so much. And it literally was all an entire class on just the tropes of reality TV.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. And like, my mom loves The Housewives. We all know that.
I do too.
You know, not great.
I love to watch Mark you.
Yeah, exactly. There's not great dynamics that happen, but we love to watch it because it's entertainment. And
like watching a car wreck, you just want to look as you go by it.
Right. But we can't look at it and say, oh, that is exactly how I should be acting in real life. No.
Yeah, we don't model our behavior off of it.
Right. We have to have some understanding that this is just for one specific purpose. And it doesn't mean that then I'm going to make that part of how I act in real life. So I think porn is kind of the same way, where it has a function, where it can be, you know, something that we use to, one, I think it can be really helpful to explore different fantasies. It's a really like low risk way to explore different things, as long as it's consensual, as long as you're not on the internet looking at anything that's illegal. It can be a really cool way to, you know, say, well, maybe I want to explore some different styles of sex. Like, maybe I'm curious about BDSM and maybe I want to, you know, watch some porn where somebody's tied up and see what that looks like. And would, you know, you can't necessarily maybe feel it in your body when you're watching it, but get a sense of what that could look like, maybe if it is arousing to you or not. I think those are really cool ways to use porn as a really low risk way to start to even explore different
fantasies. I think you could even use it if you guys like do one or two positions all the time and that's it. Heck, I think you can even use it as just a tool of like, that kind of looks interesting. We could give that position a shot and we haven't thought of it yet. Like, it can, yes, it can be, I love where you're going with it. It can be such an asset, but I think the whole key of all this is you both need to be in on it together a little bit.
Right. Right.
You need to be on the same page. We can't be on different pages of the book.
No, exactly. And I think that's where if we bring gender into it a little bit, where I think women historically have had, you know, a little bit more wariness around porn, because obviously we all grew up thinking that, you know, boys and men watch porn and somehow, again, it's taking away from what I can bring to the table. And I think that speaks, again, to the inherent, like, women are there to please their partner instead of it being about our own pleasure. And that if our partner's watching porn, then we aren't pleasing our partner in the way that we need to be pleasing them, or they're not interested in us. And therefore, that means there's something wrong with me. And, you know, we've kind of myth busted that. And both of us talking about our histories with porn, that, yes, I broke my childhood computer watching porn. Like, women also watch porn and can also get something out of porn.
I have a question.
Yes.
I love how I do this like I'm in fifth grade. Okay. Can I ask you, what was your favorite type of like porn to watch?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I think I've always kind of been interested in something that is along the lines of like what I'm interested at the time in. Like, there's times where I want to watch like more romantic porn, which is, again, really hard to find in mainstream porn. And so I search for more feminist porn on that. Or I don't know, I'm really gonna, I guess, not out myself here, but like, there have been times where, you know, my husband and I have been talking about how to do anal, and that's been something he's wanted to do pretty much our entire relationship. And so, like, using that as a tool to figure out, you know, what can this look like? Even though, again, porn is not a great teacher. There's plenty of other things resources that I've looked up for that. But a way to figure out, is this something that I want to do? Is it something that could arouse me or not? So I think it varies. I don't think there's not like one specific type that I'm like, oh, this is my type and that's the only thing I go for. I think I've watched a lot of different types and just kind of whatever like piques my interest at that particular time, depending on what I'm looking at or into.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that answer.
What about you?
I was just wondering. Oh, yeah. I have no problem answering that either. You know, it's really funny. It's actually funny. I heard one of the girls that was on the most recent season of The Real Housewives actually say in a conversation that this was her favorite like genre of porn. And it's really funny to me because I don't think it's many people's favorite genre, but it was kind of mine. Is I loved anything that was almost like educationally tutorial-ish. Like how. Like those ones really interested me. Like literally, how do you do this? Like where it's actually teaching you, like, you know, the best way to do X, Y, or Z, like whatever it happened to be. But like the kind of like tutorial genre porn, I loved it. It was so entertaining to me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's for me, too. It was like this is the way to get slightly away from the demeaning stuff. I feel like there's always like a man involved, though, that's explaining this on women, though. And so I do think that it tends to still be in that category a little bit, but yeah, I agree.
I loved that genre. That was like one of my favorite genres to watch. Cause it was like, it was always really interesting. Yeah. I think that was kind of like my favorite genre. Or I think like also like once I got out of that genre a little bit, I also kind of like, I don't know how I love how you said like romantic, I guess. But I guess I also like there are different genres where like this is like predates OnlyFans because OnlyFans didn't exist. But like almost like actual couples who were just literally having sex where they're actually in a relationship. They're married.
Yeah.
They produce this themselves. Like it's not done by anybody else. And it's like kind of their journey through them having sex. And like that one to me was also very interesting and entertaining. And I liked that. And And what I liked about it was I hate the cheesy storyline porn. Like, oh, I'm sorry. God. Like, do not give me somebody coming in the door to fix the fucking cable internet connection. And then he bangs the girl on the couch. Like, that is the dumbest storyline I've ever heard. So, like, stupid storyline porn just does not interest me. I'm like, it just looks and sounds stupid. Like, I watch it and I'm like, you both look stupid. Like, this is not doing it. So like something that was more real life to me, like that I found a lot more I just found that way more entertaining than anything else. So kind of a little bit in the same lines as you, like that, where it was, I either wanted something where I could kind of feel like I was getting like an educational aspect out of it, or that it was more like real life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that with feminist porn, that's what they're trying to do, is have it be, again, more like real life people and, you know, all genders and identities.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being like the straight man, straight woman, that's usually like white and blonde or brunette. And so having a lot more, you know, again, representation, even in porn, is really important, I think. But just like you were saying, real life people is so much better. And I think this in general is just a pet peeve of mine, of like sex in movies, sex in TV shows, that it's so taken out of what real life sex looks like, because of course they want it to be so cinematic and, you know, so romantic, but it's like,
and we also only have so much time, which I'm sorry, it takes a long time for women to get aroused. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's not just one, two, done.
Exactly. A movie producer doesn't have 27 minutes to wait for the woman to actually get aroused to get I get it. It's a time constraint. But yes, it's just not realistic.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I think there's even like a whole like platform for that now. I think it's like You Porn or something, or it maybe is part of like YouTube or something. But
I've seen that site before. I looked at that site before.
That it's all like amateur porn, like people uploading their own videos.
I want to say that's actually where I think I used to find a lot of the ones where it was just real people.
Yeah.
I just liked more than like the Pornhub cheesy, super produced garbage.
Yeah. Well, and now that you're saying that, I think a lot of what I have watched too, and again, there's not a whole lot of this out there, especially in mainstream porn, but that centered around women's pleasure as much as possible.
And see, that's what I also loved about the tutorial porn is, honestly, it was always trying to get a woman off. And I was like, I love that that's the fucking goal here. Thank you. Okay, I think where I'll try to go with us now, or try to get with you, is if you are having a problem with this in your relationship, or you don't feel comfortable with it, or you're not sure how to approach it, how are we wanting to talk about, like, how's a good way to talk about this? How is a good way to try to incorporate this into our own sexual relationship with our partner so that it can become an asset as opposed to a blocker or a hindrance? Like, how do we kind of start changing that so that we have a more positive experience with it? I would wonder that from you.
So, in trying to discuss this with your partner, I am not saying that everybody needs to be okay with porn. I think it's okay for, you know, if you decide that you don't like porn and that's not something you want in your relationship.
You have
that right.
It's not my
job to tell you that that's not okay. So I would say, just like Alex has said before, both of you really need to be on the same page about that and both have the same value around that, so that that is not something that's just going to randomly come up. Now,
no one wants to feel blindsided.
Yeah, no one wants to feel blindsided. I think it's completely okay to both say, we don't like porn, we don't want that to be part of our relationship, and we are going to stick to that. And hopefully, if anybody has a desire to change that in your relationship, that they would come to the other person then and have that conversation as well, without, you know, just kind of doing it in the background. I will say, however, when we start to put parameters on things like that, then kind of what I was alluding to is, sometimes we have times where we want to change our mind, or we want to explore sex in a different way. And do we have the flexibility in our relationship to, again, address that and have those conversations? Or is that going to feel like a betrayal? I think the most egregious thing that I have seen is when we are trying to tell our partner that they can't do something with their own body. Like saying that I'm not okay with masturbation. And, you know, that's kind of a whole other topic. But I think it's really important to know that we are all sexual beings and sexuality is such an important and integral part of who we are as humans. And I don't think that it's okay for us to ever regulate what your partner wants to do with their own body.
100%.
As long as it's reasonable.
If it's affecting your life on a large scale, that's different.
Right.
That's very different.
Giving a blanket statement of like, I don't want my partner to masturbate because I only want them to have sex with me.
I personally don't feel
like that's reasonable.
I think honestly, when you try to regulate a natural human instinct and behavior like that, I hate to say it, I think what you're going to end up is you're going to set yourself up for failure because the other person isn't going to be able to live up to that expectation and they shouldn't have to.
Right.
So that's where at least I think that it's worthwhile to say, I can understand maybe your feeling of that and maybe the insecurity you have for some reason regarding them doing that with their own body. But if you make that, I think you need to be prepared that eventually it's going to come to a head and probably not in a way you're wanting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying that that's kind of like on the far end of the spectrum. And also that could include porn or not, you know,
you
could decide that, you know, I'm fine. We're fine with masturbation, but maybe we don't want porn to be part of it. And that's fine.
I want you to look at my photo on your iPhone while you do it.
Yeah. But again, I think creating restrictions on things also can still be a slippery slope. And with that, if we go to the other side and you want porn to be part of your relationship or just like my husband and I, we don't really even talk about porn because it's just like if you watch it, fine. If I watch it, fine. Like we don't have to check in with each other and talk about it. We both are just like, it doesn't really bother me. If you watch it, I don't need to know about it. But yeah, I think if we look at porn as something that can be used as a tool, I think it's great for couples to want to, you know, use it together if that's something that you both are into. But also, you know, I think there's a lot of couples out there that are just kind of like, it doesn't really matter. And again, there's so much in this that is hard to kind of encompass in a small snippet. I think if there are insecurities, just like Alex was saying, those are conversations that we need to be having in the relationship. And if you need help talking through those things, coming to someone like me and talking through, you know, what does it look like to have porn in our relationship? And if there are insecurities around that, where does that stem from? What does it mean when your partner is watching porn outside of, you know, the sexual experiences that the two of you are having? And one thing that you had mentioned around like the amount of sex that we are having, I just wanted to note again that it's not necessarily about the amount of sex that we're having. It's about whether or not we enjoy the sex that we're having. So even if that,
I just meant, I didn't mean necessarily amount, I guess, but desire.
Yeah.
I think there can be a huge desire discrepancy.
Right.
Very common between people.
Absolutely. So I was just going to say, like, if the two of you are having sex once a week, once a month, and that feels really connecting for both of you and satisfies the need in the relationship, and then somebody else, you know, either of you or both of you have, you know, needs on your own that you'd like to fulfill, or it doesn't even have to be a need. Like, even if you just want to have some alone time and like to masturbate and watch porn on your own, like, that's totally fine. And so I think it doesn't really matter like how often it is. If you're just doing it once a month, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily a bad thing. It just means, are we getting that need met in our relationship? And if not, then how do we address that portion of it first before it being like porn kind of becomes the scapegoat to everything and we kind of just demonize porn versus actually tackling
what's going on in our relationship.
Yeah. What's going on in our relationship that we need to address so we both feel like we have the sex that we want to be having and have the intimacy and the connection that we want to be having. And then, you know, everything else is just kind of in the periphery that we get to explore on our own because we have the right to explore our own sexuality on our own.
And I think the one thing that when I kind of gasped there, everybody, was I had made a very interesting parallel to the episode before this that we had on boundaries, where I think that this really, this whole topic really comes back to that discussion a little bit too, of like, it's up to you and your partner to create and set boundaries within your life that makes you both feel the best that you can feel, the most connected you can feel, and just good about your relationship. So I think that our whole emphasis, at least on this topic, kind of around porn that we've kind of come to here today, is that it's not about the porn. It's not about the masturbation. It's not. It's all about, how are we framing this and discussing this within our relationship to make both parties feel comfortable and having the connection that they need and want? Like, that's really what it comes down to. And I think so when you sweep it under the rug and you just hide it and you don't talk about it, that's, I think, when you're going to come to the issues with it. Because, I mean, look at any other situation in your life. If you do that, that's usually going to kind of happen. There's going to be some conflict that arises from the not discussion or not having the discussion around it. Right. So I think that, yeah, I just really made that parallel to, you know, it comes to discussing, creating boundaries, and then also, like you kind of said a minute ago, assessing those and changing as time goes on. There's also nothing wrong with kind of changing your mind and saying, there's a little something different that I want to explore at this point in time. And to be honest, it actually just literally, this conversation just made me literally think in my head, when was the last time I asked my fiance, like, how do you feel about like our sex life? And is there anything that we're not exploring that you would like to? Like, it literally just made me think, okay, when was the last time I actually asked that question? Because things change. And I mean, I don't think that someone's entire personality of their, you know, sexual being of themselves and what they like, I don't think that usually just flips 100%, you know, from 0 to 100 of something different. But things evolve over time. So just leaving the space and openness for that change and being on the same page together with it, I think is the biggest thing, at least that I'm taking from you while we're discussing this particular topic, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say too that when we're not talking about these things and then creating like porn or masturbation as the very specific problem, and we keep harping on that as the problem, I think it can almost have the opposite effect. Just like, you know, telling a teenager, don't do this, they're going to be more wanting to do it. And so I think I've seen that a lot where, yeah, we're not addressing a lot of the issues that are going on in the relationship or our needs for intimacy in general. And we're just focusing on porn use or masturbation. And then it does kind of get to a point sometimes where it's being blown out of proportion, or partners using it more and more and more, because it sometimes is like the only way that they feel like they're getting any need met if we're only focusing on that as the problem. So all that is just to say, if we use it as a scapegoat instead of focusing on the things that are meaningful to talk about in the relationship, sometimes it can make the problem even worse. And 100%. So, yeah, having these conversations is so important. Being open, being honest. Again, if you have a hard time talking about these things in your relationship and need support with that, there are always people like me out there that are definitely willing to help the two of you navigate through that and talk about what your values are around sex and intimacy. And like Alex was saying, set healthy boundaries around it and also discuss what we want and need out of our own relationship.
Can I ask you one question before we end today? The one thing that I just thought of as you kind of said that is, and I know like I'm not asking you to delve into like your specific clients necessarily, but can I ask, like, if someone is having like an issue with porn maybe a bit, right? And they come to you and they do start talking through this and they start kind of delving into like, why do I like it? What am I getting out of it? Why are you having an issue with it?
once the dialogue is there and gets the ball gets moving, do you notice that sometimes people that maybe had a little bit more of an issue with it are able to kind of lighten up on it because now they've had the conversation and they understand and there's a sense of connection? Do you find that kind of frequently? I just wonder.
So are you asking specifically about like the person that may have an issue with porn, or do you mean, like, if you have a
couple that comes to you, one person really does not like the other person's porn use. They don't really want it. It makes them feel inferior in whatever way. And then you guys start getting in the sessions, really talking about it and getting into the conversation behind all of this, right? Do you find that sometimes that person who might have an issue with it is able to kind of let up on that issue a bit because now they have an understanding with their partner that you have helped them create?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's different depending on the situation, but
totally.
Yeah, that is the hope, is that if we are looking at all the different components, that maybe this person doesn't need, you know, the porn as much as they did because they're actually talking to their partner. They're, you know, discussing the needs that they have. Both people have equal footing in, you know, who is receiving pleasure. What does that mean to us? What do we want out of our sexual experiences instead of it just being so focused on porn? I will say, I know this gets into addiction. I don't really want to go down that road.
No, we won't.
I will say that, you know, sometimes it does lend itself to talking more about like self-regulation and, you know, how are we meeting our needs in other ways besides just use of porn? But I would say even in those situations, like porn and sex can become a coping mechanism, that if we aren't dealing with stuff going on inside of us, just like alcohol, just like drugs, porn or sex
can be
used as an outlet to kind of numb all the other stuff that is going on. So I've seen that in a few extreme cases is where, you know, porn has become this really big issue in a relationship, and the use is definitely, you know, higher than what you might typically see. But I think there's, again, a lot of underlining things going on there that aren't being talked about, and a lot of needs that aren't being met within the relationship, or, you know, dynamics in the relationship that aren't being addressed. And porn is kind of this outlet for that person. So talking about all those things, as well as sometimes needing to talk about like emotional regulation and figuring out, you know, what are other coping mechanisms that we can have beyond just porn is important too. But I would say, yeah, in general, trying to have these conversations, trying to help clients not avoid these conversations and really dive deep into their own belief systems and values and what they want and need can be really helpful in kind of either alleviating the symptom or shifting the focus to what the focus actually should be, which is the relationship instead of just porn. All right, guys. Well, that's it for this podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you are continuing to enjoy all of these episodes that we are releasing for you guys, and that you go follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please leave us a review with questions or comments you have for the show. We would love to hear from you.
Guys, please come hang with us on Instagram because we've got some cool stuff coming up. We always tease any new episodes and little things like that coming out on there. And then I think we might be going into some on our off weeks where Kayla might be doing some lives on some riff-offs of other different topics that you guys might want to hear about. So please come hang with us on Instagram. Check it out. It's the same. It's Her on Top Pod. Check us out. Hang out. We would love to have you there. So with that, everybody, have a lovely Friday.
Have a lovely Friday. We'll see you next time in our next episode.